This is NBC Nightly News, Thursday, March 27th, with John Chancellor. Tonight reported by Tom Brokaw from the NBC News Center in New York and David Brinkley's Journal from Washington.
Good evening. One of the most dramatic airlifts in history is now underway in Da Nang, South Vietnam. Hundreds of thousands of refugees and Da Nang citizens will be evacuated from the city, which has been isolated by communist troops. As Don Oliver reports, it was chaotic at the Da Nang airport when the first American planes arrived.
Near panic at the Da Nang airport as the airlift of refugees began. The pilot had to wait to approach the ramp area until soldiers could bring the crowd under control. They were mostly women and children, running, crowding, and shoving. The refugees knew there were only four flights out this first day, and they didn't want to be left behind. The plane, with 125 seats, was carrying up to 200 people a flight. Two or three children piled into a seat and strapped down. There were crying mothers who had lost some of their children, but because of the crush of people, they could not get out of the plane to find them. Most of these people were relatives of Vietnamese military officers or civilian officials in Da Nang, someone who had enough influence to get their families past the security guards around the Da Nang airport. They were being taken first to the coastal town of Nha Trang, considered to be safe for the moment. Most of the refugees from Da Nang will be taken here first. Officials of the U.S. consulate in Da Nang came with them to make certain the evacuation centers in the area are ready to receive them. The refugees were not allowed any baggage, just what they could carry. Everything else will have to be provided for them. Officials say they have enough rice on hand here for the time being, but bread is in short supply. Three American doctors are being flown in. The last thing they want is an epidemic in the refugee camp. In the next few days, the airlift is expected to grow with more planes and at least one jumbo jet. Most of these people, when they left Da Nang, did not know that they were coming to Nha Trang. They thought they were going to Saigon. They don't know that they'll be housed here in a high school for a couple of days and then move further south. But the situation is changing so rapidly that they may be running for days to come. Don Oliver, NBC News, Nha Trang, South Vietnam.
Da Nang, South Vietnam's second largest city and a key seaport, is increasingly vulnerable to a communist takeover. South Vietnamese troops are holding an area around Da Nang, but as Gary Cutley reports, it appears to be just a question of time before that too falls.
It was close to panic in Da Nang today. It was already chaos. No organization, just streets jammed with people trying to get out of the city. A few lucky ones did by the airlift. Some people tried to get away by sea, while other boats, which could be used for evacuation, worked. But the evacuation is falling far short of what is needed, and hundreds of thousands of Vietnamese remain trapped in Da Nang. About 300 Americans are also still in the city, most of them trying to get out. But you just tell me, what's it like here right now?
I can't tell you, because I've never seen anything like this before. Not here. It's 72, it was bad, but not like this. Most of our families have already gone, you know. And my wife is the last one to leave. She's going today. And I don't know whether Charlie's coming in here or not. They say that he's going to take this place in 5 days or a week.
Panic grows. Inflamed by reports, the communist forces are drawing closer to the city. There is also fear how long Da Nang's food supply can hold out. Refugees, though, are only Da Nang's immediate problem. The real question is whether the city can be held at all. With Hue gone, Da Nang is the Saigon government's last stronghold in the northern part of the country, and it doesn't look very strong. With the city surrounded by the sea to the east and the North Vietnamese on the other three sides, the Saigon government faces a staggering task of resupply. In addition, there is a real question whether the South Vietnamese army can hold Da Nang following the defeats it has suffered. Mixed in with the civilian refugees in the city are soldiers wandering aimlessly about. Some of those who fled Hue, leaving their major weapons behind. They should be protecting Da Nang, but are not. With the army weakened and resupply difficult, if not impossible, Da Nang is a doomed city. In fact, the North Vietnamese don't have to attack it. they can just slowly squeeze the life out of it. The magnitude of the refugee problem so far has obscured the real significance of what is happening here. That Da Nang is on the way to being the Dien Bien Phu of this Vietnam War. Derek Utley, NBC News in Da Nang.
South Vietnam's President Tu says he has smashed a plot to throw him out of office. We'll have a report from Saigon. President Ford is studying the tax cut Congress passed late last night, and spokesmen say it will be several days before he decides whether to accept the bill. The calendar says it's spring, but in parts of the Midwest today, it looked like the dead of winter. We'll have these stories and more news when we continue.
This is my wife, and I love her. I love her a lot. And I'll tell you one big reason why. She thinks enough of herself to take really good care of herself.
Well, I just don't think you should let yourself go. So I eat right, exercise, and I take Geritol every day. That way I know I get the iron and vitamins I need.
Geritol. More than twice the iron of any ordinary supplement and some very important vitamins.
My wife, she cares about herself. And I love her for it.
Ever have feelings of gas and heartburn, acid indigestion, sour stomach? None of these has an anti-gas ingredient. And gas, along with excess acid, can often cause your distress. Compared to these simple antacids, Digel is the more complete stomach medicine because Digel has both antacid and anti-gas ingredients. Compare Digel to any simple antacid. Digel is anti-gas and anti-acid. It's the more complete stomach medicine. Mint or now lemon orange.
Tu and Ki, formerly partners in South Vietnam politics, now oppose each other in a struggle for control of the embattled country. President Tu today ordered dozens of opposition politicians and journalists arrested, claiming they were involved in a plot to overthrow him. Ki, who once served as vice president with Tu, insists that he isn't involved in a coup, but he doesn't deny that he would like Tu to step aside. Arthur Lord has more.
Some of the people who were arrested this morning had attended a meeting yesterday at Tan Son Nhut Air Base. Inside the private compound of former South Vietnamese President Nguyen Cao Ky. The flamboyant Air Force general who was eased out of power in 1971. Behind these gates, 30 opposition leaders met for 5 hours to form what they called a National Salvation Front, designed to eventually remove President Tu from office. At the regular government briefing, a spokesman announced that an attempted coup d'etat had been thwarted and that those responsible for plotting the overthrow of the government had been arrested. Ki held a news conference, which was quite a surprise. He had avoided talking to reporters since 1971. He was asked if there was a coup in the works.
A military coup, any kind of trouble, the one who can profit first is the communist. As a military and my past as a leader of this country, I see it as the biggest danger. I think if Mr. Chiu is really a nationalist, a patriot, an intelligent president, he must also be aware of this dangerous situation. All what we need is some chance.
Throughout all this, President Tu stays in the Independence Palace. He has not made a public appearance in months. Now, with 11 provinces fallen to the communists, with his army reeling in retreat in the north, there is a growing feeling here that his remaining days in the palace are numbered. Arthur Lord, NBC News, Saigon.
In Cambodia, the airport of Phnom Penh took a heavy shelling again today as rebel forces again tried and failed to stop the American airlift of supplies into Cambodia. Government planes attacked rebel rocket positions outside the capital today, but an infantry drive against the same positions failed when two battalions of Cambodian soldiers refused to fight. As Phil Brady reports, even though the American airlift continues, the rocket attacks are increasingly effective.
The planes of the American airlift are still landing at Ho Chi Minh Airport, west of Phnom Penh. And so are the Khmer Rouge rockets. The enemy fire is getting heavier and more accurate. They've got the range, said one American airman working at the airfield. All the Khmer Rouge need to do, he said, is to adjust their fire slightly, and all hell will break loose.
The rockets are being fired from an area less than 5 miles from the airport. It now seems clear that the government forces sent there cannot push the enemy back to stop the shelling. Recently, American sources used the word unravel to describe some of the government units, and that now seems to be just another way of describing the disintegration of the government's position on the Northwest Front. Troop morale there is bad. Many of the soldiers say they don't really want to continue to fight because they now feel the war is lost. Others hope recent changes in the Army's top leadership will improve the supply and leadership problems that have been worsening, but so far, that has not happened. This is the Eastern Front, just across from Phnom Penh, and government forces have withdrawn from several more positions there, and no one's even talking about launching an operation to recapture them. So, the erosion of the government's defensive perimeter around Phnom Penh continues. There's little doubt that the days of the Lon Nol regime are numbered. Phil Brady, NBC News, Phnom Penh.
President Ford is very disappointed that Congress did not vote emergency aid for Cambodia and South Vietnam before breaking for the Easter recess. That word today from Press Secretary Ron Nessen. And in a Hearst newspaper interview published today, the president said chances of peace in the Middle East would be better if Israel had been more flexible in recent negotiations.
I just have to tell you about Morningstar Farms' newest idea, breakfast strips. They have no cholesterol and no animal fat. That's because, like other good foods from Morningstar Farms, they're made from textured vegetable protein. And I have to tell you, they're great if you're on a budget, because they cost less than bacon. Oh, and they don't shrink as much as bacon. And one package gives you about as many delicious strips as a pound of bacon. Oh, and I have to tell you, they're a pleasure to prepare. They fry up quickly in a little vegetable oil, so there's never a lot of messy drippings to clean up afterwards. Do they taste like crispy, delicious bacon? That, I don't have to tell you.
Isn't that delicious, huh?
They're good.
Oh, this way, too.
All right, Ron. Thank you.
Give Susie some
of from Morningstar Farms.
Look for breakfast strips now in the Morningstar Farms section of your grocer's freezer.
There was a great deal of wintry spring weather today, all the way from the Rockies to the Midwest and from the Great Lakes to Texas, where a tornado killed a little girl and injured dozens of other people. Here are two reports.
The spring blizzard brought only 3 inches of snow to the eastern slopes of the Rockies, but winds of up to 60 miles an hour caused severe drifting and made driving very hazardous. This morning, tow trucks began pulling stranded cars back onto the roadway, and every driver told about the same story.
I couldn't see. I just lost all visibility just for an instant, and I went off the road, you know. I was leading a group of cars, you know, and I went off, and the second car did, too.
All roads out of Greeley are closed down.
The storm knocked out electricity and telephone service in many smaller communities, leaving them isolated. North Dakota travelers have been hampered by blowing snow for several days. Many roads, even major ones, have been closed. Even more heavy snow is predicted to fall tonight. Residents of Minneapolis are used to snow, but not two major storms in 1 week. Today's storm left as much snow as did one a week ago. The total now is almost a foot without drifting. The new winter storm moving across the country has civil defense officials in northwest Illinois worried. At Rockford this week, the worst flooding in history has already forced several thousand people from their homes. More snow, more sleet, more rain are on the way, and the flooding may get worse. Mike Jackson, NBC News.
La Fors is a small oil field town in the Texas Panhandle. About 800 people live here, and a fourth of them are homeless following the early morning tornado. There was one death, a three-year-old girl. Local officials said more people could have been killed because many were asleep when the tornado struck. The business district in La Fors was flattened, and about 150 homes were either damaged or destroyed. Rescue workers from surrounding communities converged on La Fors to help the tornado victims. About 50 people were taken to local hospitals for treatment of their injuries. Some longtime residents said they'd experienced tornadoes before, but never anything like this. George Lewis, NBC News.
A bomb went off early today in a restroom on the floor above the FBI office in Berkeley, California. A few hours before that, five powerful pipe bombs exploded in a power company substation in San Jose, California, cutting off electrical service to thousands of homes. Bob Flick reports.
The bombs were set beneath transformer cooling tanks in a substation operated by the Pacific Gas and Electric Company. When they exploded, the cooling tanks ruptured, the transformers burned out, and electrical service was cut off to 35,000 homes. Portable equipment was trucked in, and service was restored while repair work got underway on the bomb damage. PG&E has been target of repeated bombings in the past year, most of them attributed to an underground group that claims the utility is a parasite on the poor. In Berkeley, a bomb was set off on the floor above the FBI bureau, and damage was extensive. A radical group calling itself the Red Guerrilla Family telephoned a radio station before the explosion, and police evacuated the building. There were no injuries. Bob Flick, NBC News, Berkeley, California.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has stopped issuing licenses for the import and export of nuclear reactors and fuels. The suspension will continue until a study is made of safety factors in their transportation. A commission spokesman said the suspension was the result in part of recent disclosures that hundreds of thousands of pounds of plutonium oxide were being flown into New York's Kennedy Airport.
What a vacation. No place we have to be, doing what we feel. Just miles and miles of perfect. Getting Bank AmeriCard before we left wasn't such a bad idea. It's made this vacation lots looser. Look at that. What a place to see the sunrise. We don't use Bank AmeriCard all the time, but sometimes just having it makes all the difference.
Wait. Let me choose a cereal.
Who are you?
I'm your common sense.
Really?
And here's our common sense cereal, Kellogg's Product 19.
Good, huh?
Crunchy and smart. Gives us vitamin insurance. 100% of our daily allowance of 10 vitamins and iron. Tastes terrific.
Right.
What's terrific?
My common sense.
Make Kellogg's Product 19 your common sense cereal.
President Ford hasn't decided whether to accept that record tax cut Congress voted late last night, but according to his press secretary, Mr. Ford is confident the House would uphold him if he vetoes it. The president is expected to study the bill for several days before announcing his decision. John Cochran reports from the White House.
President Ford told his economic advisors the tax bill contained some good and some bad things. One advisor said the tax package would contribute to a $100 billion deficit, about twice as large as the president wants. The meeting broke up with no decision on a veto. The president's decision may be his most important so far. Some of his aides believe he will not be elected next year if he vetoes the tax cut. Those aides believe that a veto would leave Mr. Ford open to Democratic charges that he followed Herbert Hoover-type policies at a time of economic crisis. Other advisors believe a veto would be regarded by voters, especially conservative Republicans, as a courageous attempt to fight inflation. But Mr. Ford himself has said that recession, not inflation, is now his prime concern. And that would seem to stack the odds in favor of his signing the tax bill, but accompanying it with a strong statement condemning its cost. John Cochran, NBC News, The White House.
In February, the United States exported more, much more, than it imported. There was a record trade surplus, $917 million, chiefly as a result of lower oil imports. Administration economists said the surplus would help the domestic economy by making it easier to expand the money supply and because it would open more jobs in export businesses. Interior Secretary Rogers Morton is changing jobs in President Ford's cabinet. Morton is the president's choice to be the new Secretary of Commerce. Morton will continue as the chairman of the administration's Energy Resources Council. Administration sources are saying tonight that former Wyoming Governor Stanley Hathaway will succeed Morton at Interior. Hathaway, a Republican, is the former chairman of the Western Governors Conference. He comes from a state with large coal reserves. Now that construction of the Alaska pipeline is underway, there is less public discussion about its impact on the environment. But another oil pipeline, this one out of Canada, has stirred some strong feelings in the upper Midwest. Bob Jamieson reports.
For 25 years, wells on the oil-rich prairies of western Canada have been supplying the energy needs of the East. The oil gets from western to eastern Canada by a pipeline owned by Interprovincial Limited and its U.S. subsidiary Lakehead Pipeline. There must be a U.S. subsidiary because to reach eastern Canada from the west, the pipeline must dip through the U.S. It enters the country at the North Dakota-Minnesota border. One leg shoots across the Straits of Mackinac and into Ontario, while another curves around Chicago before heading north into Canada again. 1.3 million barrels of oil flow each day from west to east. While most is for Canadian consumption, America's upper Midwest uses Canadian oil. But for the last 18 months, not all the oil has been getting to its intended delivery point because the pipeline has been rupturing. In northern Minnesota, the pipeline runs through the Leonard Hupka farm. He came home from shopping one December night to find 3 million gallons of oil standing in a field. The spill on Hopka's farm is one of seven known ruptures of the pipeline in Minnesota and Canada. In all, the company says only 47,000 barrels have spilled out of the line. Property owners and government officials disagree. They say the amount spilled is much higher, perhaps 175,000 barrels. And Minnesota pollution control officials say they have evidence oil from one spill has seeped into a water supply. Hopka says work crews were still burning oil off his field last summer and that his once rich farmland is now sterile.
Nothing grows on this particular land. Nothing grew at all this summer. We tried to seed it in a few areas where we could get in with our equipment, but nothing grew on this particular area. I know this is really depreciated the value of our property here because everybody knows that this could happen again anytime.
Hopka says it will be 10 years before his damaged land is productive again. And he says Interprovincial has not paid for the damage, while the company says the land has been reclaimed as far as it is concerned. Interprovincial, with headquarters in Edmonton, is owned by, among others, Exxon and Gulf. The company says nothing major is wrong with its pipeline. The spills, officials argue, were only isolated incidents.
The flaws that were detected at the time of these spills and breaks in the pipeline in Minnesota and the few other ones that were determined by hydrostatic testing have removed the isolated flaws in the pipe.
The company, meanwhile, has announced plans to construct a major new facility at Superior, Wisconsin. Interprovincial will use the facility to ship petroleum by lake tanker to Canada. The plans have touched off a storm of protest from environmental groups who worry the plant will pollute Lake Superior. Some state officials believe pollution risks should not be part of the bargain with Canada.
I don't think that either the Canadians want to export their environmental risk to the United States or vice versa, and I don't see why we have to accept either spills on the land or spills in Lake Superior as a part of moving oil from western Canada to eastern Canada.
Oil will continue to flow from western to eastern Canada through the U.S., but Canadian politicians are suggesting a change. If their country is to become independent where energy is concerned, they argue, the pipeline must run through the U.S. without making deliveries, or at least expected ones. Bob Jamieson, NBC News, Edmonton, Canada.
The Securities and Exchange Commission today charged Howard Hughes with violating the law when he purchased a West Coast airline in 1968. The SEC said that Hughes had led stockholders of Air West to believe they would get three times as much for their shares as they actually received.
The Congress of the United States has passed and the President has signed legislation raising the coverage of the Federal Savings and Loan Insurance Corporation. Effective immediately, your savings are now insured up to $40,000 by this U.S. government agency. When you see this new emblem at your savings and loan, remember it still means no one has ever lost a penny in an insured savings account.
Want to meet the real life of a party? It's right here. Carrier's Roundland, the most attractive central air conditioning unit you can buy and one of the most efficient.
Fact is, if all the others in the country ran as efficiently as this one, there will be enough electricity saved this year, we estimate, to power Los Angeles every night for 6 months. To find out what the round one can save you, call your carrier dealer.
Whole grain wheat, hard red spring wheat, whole grain rye. Whole grain means that the wheat germ and rye germ are still there. This is bran, this defatted flax seed, and this is pure golden honey. Now, all of these ingredients are in Roman meal bread. Roman meal, the good-tasting light brown bread with natural whole grain goodness. The Roman Meal Company thought you'd like to know.
As we've seen, spring is not all that it's cracked up to be so far. Storms in the Midwest, tornadoes in Texas, floods in the Midwest as well. Spring also has arrived in the capital of the United States. And as David Brinkley tells us tonight, it isn't quite what it's cracked up to be there either. David?
Spring has arrived in Washington on time and undamaged, the federal government as yet having found no way to interfere with it. Spring is associated here with the blooming of azaleas, dogwoods, and the cherry trees and other happy events. But this year, the other seasonal happenings in Washington included these. Ralph Nader complaining the post office had put a mail cover on him. That is, looking at the envelopes and reporting to some snoopy government agency who was writing to him. Well, this may explain why the mail is so slow. Instead of delivering it, they're sitting around looking at it and making reports. The spring found Senator Proxmire complaining about $84,000 federal dollars going to finance a study on why people fall in love. A question that could not be answered for twice that price. The real answer, Proxmire must know. One more campus academic has thought up one more cute idea to get one more federal grant. And the spring finds the Commissioner of Internal Revenue trying unsuccessfully to explain why his tax agents were in Miami checking around on people's drinking and sex habits. There was no clear purpose in it, unless they are planning some new tax that we have not yet heard about. Tom?
That's the news for this Thursday evening. I'm Tom Brokaw. Good night for NBC News.